So hello, friends. I wish that we were all in the same room so we could be talking and getting to know each other, but I'm grateful for this alternative and this time to be together today as well. So how about I'll share a little bit more. Thank you, Gretchen, for the introduction. I'll just share a little bit more about me. My name is Joy Hensel. I currently live in Duluth, Minnesota, where I'm primarily a stay-at-home parent for my 7 and 4-year-old. They're doing distance learning right now with grandma, by the way. However, I'm also an adult mental health first aid instructor, and I'm the program consultant for the Northeastern Minnesota Synod Youth Ministry and Mental Health Initiative. I've trained at Luther Seminary, Hazel and Betty Ford, and Adler Graduate School. I'm a licensed alcohol and drug counselor for the state of Minnesota, and I've continued my work with mental health, and I'm working on my mental health certifications right now as well. I'm a pastor's kid. I was a youth director for about 8-9 years. And I worked, as Gretchen said, at VLM, Voyager Lutheran Ministries, year-round staff and summer staff. And I remembered this as well, that back in 2005, I actually attended the Lutheran Outdoor Ministry administrative track, that part of the school. It was a while ago now. Anyway, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation to talk self-care, to talk talk about what we're talking about today. So before we start, ritual is really important to me. This is a special candle that I light at special times in my life. And so we're going to start. I'm going to light this candle. And lighting this candle is a reminder of God's presence with us and with others. When we feel exhausted, uncertain, and overwhelmed, this light is a reminder to us that Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up and is present with us, covering us with what we need. So we're going to keep this candle lit during our session today. Would you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this new day and time to gather together to listen and learn and connect. God of peace, we give you thanks for the many ways that you show up in each of our lives. When life is uncertain and constantly changing, you are with us. When we worry, you are with us. When we're fearful, you are with us. When we're angry, you are with us. When we are grieving, you are with us. And when we feel distant from you, you are with us. In all of the different feelings that we experience throughout our days, help us to rest in the promise of your presence, breathing in your love and deep peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want to start with a belly breath. Do you know what a belly breath is? Or sometimes it's called diaphragmatic breathing. Well, I'm going to show what belly breath breathing is. So I'm going to stand up. You don't need to stand up, but you can if you want to. So when we do belly breaths, we want to put our hands on our belly. And often we don't want our belly to come way out, right? But when we do belly breaths, we do. It's a great opportunity to just let it out there, right? So a belly breath is when we breathe in, our belly is actually going to come out. So when we breathe in, we take a breath in. Everybody take a breath in, put your hands on your belly. And so our belly should fill up with air. So our lungs are really filling up with air. And then as we breathe out, our belly will go in. So as we take a big breath, our hands are in our belly, we can feel our body. So let's take a big breath in and our bellies, let's try to get them to go out. In. So as you keep doing your belly breaths, I first want to say to each one of you, thank you. Thank you for all the many ways that you've been leading, the many ways that you've had to pivot, the many ways that you've had to be flexible. Thank you for investing in and creating and dreaming and designing opportunities to meet the needs of your communities during these really uncertain and changing times. Thank you for your continued investment in youth and families, in congregations, and in your staff members, summer and year round. I want to acknowledge the exhausting and beautiful and immense amount of work that each of you have been doing and that you're continuing to do. It's a lot. Keep taking those belly breaths. Thank you for all that you do, but mostly for all that you are for so many. You are appreciated. You are, and you do make a difference. Keep doing those belly breaths. So our agenda today, the question posed to me for today's time together is, when every decision is something new, how do we do self-care and feed ourselves spiritually? So today, this morning, we're going to focus on our whole self, okay? We're going to focus on how we tend to our body, mind, and spirit, because they're all connected and they all impact each other, especially during times of uncertainty. So this morning, I'm going to share some ideas, activities, and resources, and then hopefully leave some time for questions at the end. As you see, I have a real simple agenda here on the screen. We're going to focus on tending to ourselves. We are going to touch on tending to others and self-care resources. Let's begin today with a self-care practice. Let's practice a mindfulness practice. Now, mindfulness is about being fully present in the now. It's taking time to observe our thoughts and feelings without any type of reaction or judgment of them. Mindfulness is going from asking the, well, what if, to asking the, what is. It's a shift from worrying about the future to just simply accepting the present moment. So I'd like to invite you to participate in this mindfulness practice called To Truly Listen. However, before we start, I want to encourage you to do what feels most comfortable. If you simply want to listen and not participate, that's okay. And please do that. Side note here for all of us who are professionals in ministry and leaders in ministry, it's wonderful that we have the opportunities to offer different experiences like mindfulness exercises or yoga. However, if you're leading an activity like that, please, please give people permission to not participate or participate to the best of their ability. Now, you might say, well, why, Joy? Well, sometimes body work or breath work, even though they're very helpful to us, they can also be an emotional trigger for people. So for example, if you're at camp and it's like, okay, we're going to do some good morning yoga this morning, right before morning intro. And if you have a kid who just marches off, who doesn't want to participate, there may actually be something more to that situation than they simply, that they don't feel comfortable. There might be more there. So just that friendly reminder, please always give people permission to do what's best for them. So today, I welcome you to join me and do what's best for you. To truly listen. What do you think it means to truly listen? As the Native American elder James Youngblood Henderson says, to truly listen is to risk being changed forever. There are times in our life when it becomes necessary to stop. If we don't stop, our life stops us, right? Through sickness or disease or dis-ease and injury. And when this happens, we often find ourselves resisting or fighting or asking questions like, why is this happening to me? I don't have time for this. So today we're going to pause and step back and practice truly listening to the deeper message. So to start, find a comfortable seated position. Allow yourself to become fully present in this moment. Feel your feet on the floor and allow your spine to lift up tall and kind of your shoulders to settle back in. Feel your body supported by that chair or whatever you're sitting on. Allow your eyes to take a break from the external world, everything that's buzzing around you, and soften them or close them. And let your breath guide you inside. So we can keep doing those belly breaths. Let the rhythm of your breath quiet your mind and just breathe. Notice the sounds you're hearing in this space. Now move to the inner landscape of your body and notice how your body is feeling today. Scan your head to toe and notice where your breath is needed. Breathe life into the place or places where your breath is needed. Now take a moment to notice what's going on in your life. How are you living these days? With open awareness, curiosity, and kindness, give space to listen. Are things slowing down for you, or are they moving at lightning speed? Are there spaces to rest, or is your schedule packed full? What is your sleep schedule? What are your ears taking in each day? What are your eyes taking in each day? What are your taste buds experiencing each day? Are these things you are taking in nourishing and inspiring? We often can start to feel when we are out of alignment and not listening to what our body, mind, and heart need. As you move throughout the day, take time, stop, and pause. What do I need to see, hear, feel, or experience to nourish and inspire myself now? When you're ready, I invite a deeper breath in and out. So one more big deep breath. Wiggle your toes and your fingers. Maybe shake your neck a little or roll your neck a little. Release your neck and slowly open your eyes if you had them closed. And allow your eyes to capture something beautiful as they open. My encouragement is to choose to move slower so you can continue to listen to the messages coming from inside today. Self-care. Self-care are the activities and practices that we choose to engage in on a regular basis in order to maintain and better our health and well-being. Self-care is honestly the first thing that gets thrown out the window when life gets busy and stressful. And yet, tending to our well-being is what helps us get through challenging times and helps us better care for others. I find the oxygen mask rule a helpful reminder. So whenever we're flying on a plane, the flight attendant explains, should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop down from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Well, without our oxygen mask, we're going to quickly lose consciousness. If we don't make putting on our own mask first, our first priority, we will very likely not be able to help anyone else. All right, I know that we don't know each other very well, but can I be really honest with all of you right now? Here's my honest truth. Sometimes I fall into the thinking and belief that, well, I'm able to function quite highly and not give myself the best self-care. Anybody else been there? I also sometimes think I do not have time for self-care right now. Do you know all the things on my list? I'm simply too busy. Many of us have the skills and the abilities to function amidst immense and intense situations for a while. However, not giving ourselves self-care is simply not sustainable. Right now, during COVID, and with a constant stream of changing messages, with fires and other natural disasters, with many people doing 100% distance learning, with our family systems, our families of origin systems, and our family systems, with lots changing and going on there, with caring for aging adults, and you know, the list can go on and on and on. Managing our self-care is our key responsibility. In order to maintain our physical health, our emotional, mental health, and spiritual health, we need to choose. We need to choose to do it so that we don't burn out or get sick. So what motivates you right now to focus on you? I'm going to read the slide. The slide says, why self-care? Self-care helps prevent stress and anxiety. Self-care gives the mind, body, and spirit time to rest and rejuvenate. Self-care makes you more effective. I acknowledge that self-care takes work, investment, and time, and conscious planning to make it a priority. The good news is, self-care is about progress and not perfection. It's about acknowledging and celebrating baby steps. Self-care is doable. You can do it. So let's talk about why we need a self-care plan and where to start, or if we're already doing it, how to continue. A self-care plan begins with thinking about our daily habits and getting back to our mental well-being basics. So what are those mental well-being basics? Well, let's look at this slide. It says the first one is sleep. Sleep is honestly, in the world of mental health, we're learning sleep is the most important piece. And what I mean by sleep is not sleeping 4 hours one night and then 15 hours the next night. What I mean by sleep is consistent bedtimes and consistent wake-up times. Next, it says nutritious food. I know sometimes when we hear nutritious food, we think, oh, it's not going to taste good. But nutritious food means things like dark chocolate and other tasty, yummy, nutritious, nourishing foods. Routine, a realistic routine. You know, COVID's been around for a while now, and there have been a lot of changes. So hopefully each of us are getting into some type of realistic routine. Routine is helpful. Immediate environment. So what I mean by immediate environment is depending on, sometimes we just get stuck in the space that we're in. So a reminder that you can physically move your space. Maybe you go outside. Maybe you just need to go to a different room in your house. But another piece about immediate environment, especially with winter nearing, maybe we just need to change the room that we're in. Maybe we need to add some lights, especially with winter, especially in the morning, let light in, depending on where we're at in the country. Where I live in Minnesota, we really need to let that light in earlier in the day, and that can help give us energy. So we can change our immediate environment. Also, exercise. I know this is another one people get stuck on. It's like, I don't have time for exercise. But what I mean by exercise is going for a walk, taking your dog for a walk. Maybe it's dancing to your favorite songs that you blast in your house. You know, just, it could be as simple as breathing as well. The next back to the basics of mental well-being is stay connected to your support system. Who are the people who support you? Surround yourself with those who energize you, who make you laugh, who surround you with love and hope, and who you can truly be your authentic self with. And connect with them. If it's via text, if it's online, you know, we're doing online, maybe it's distance outside, depending on where we live, we have different boundaries around that right now. Next, it says play, laugh, create, pray. These are getting back to the basics. And the last one I'm going to talk about for this particular is asking for help. Now, we're going to talk about asking for help in two ways. Right now, I'm talking about asking for help work-wise. When we feel overwhelmed or stuck, and let's be honest, we've all felt overwhelmed or stuck sometime throughout these last few months. We've all been there. Reach out to each other, to colleagues maybe in your field, also to people who are not in your field, and be willing to learn from each other. Be willing to collaborate and create and dream together. This is a great time to partner. So getting back to the basics is a great place to start. I encourage you today to start today with just one. Just one. Maybe it's I'm going to go to bed an hour earlier tonight. What else can we do? When life feels out of control and uncertain, it's important that we refocus on the here and now and what we can do. Focusing on the here and now moves us from a state of feeling helpless to a state of feeling hopeful or at least manageable. I want to read the slide, the brown slide. This came out right after everything started surfacing with COVID. And so maybe some of you have seen it. And the bigger picture, the brown part of the picture says, I cannot control. You know, we can't control the actions of others. We can't predict what's going to happen. We can't predict how others will react or how long this will last. So I can let go of these. And then we have a circle in the middle, and this is kind of our circle of control. That's the idea that what can I control at this time? And what I can control, that's what I'm going to focus on. So it says things like my positive attitude, limiting my social media, turning off the TV or news, finding fun things to do at home or outside, my own social distancing, my kindness and grace. Those are some things that we can control at this time. And then on the other side, we have the cans and the light green. And let's talk about these cans. These are some more cans. And these are some specific cans for leaders in ministry for each one of you. It's important that we talk about the first one or the first check mark. I like check marks. I like to check things off. So the first one says name underlying feelings. It's important to talk about how we address our own anxiety and worry and fear and underlying emotions. We need to start with naming and acknowledging our own feelings and processing them in safe spaces. Safe spaces might be with a spiritual director, a pastor, a therapist, a partner, a friend, a mentor. As leaders, we must deal with our own feelings because they'll come out. They'll come out and they'll tend to come out sideways or they'll come out sideways as anger, grief. Maybe they come out as missed meetings, frustration, heightened irritation, or reaction, reacting to everything. When we as leaders name our own stress and distress, then we can best or better meet the needs of our staff, our congregations, youth, families, and our donors. Next, it says reach out for help. So this is the second reach out for help. Mental health conditions are on the rise right now. Maybe that's never been a concern, or maybe that's never been something you've thought about that impacts you, but it could be now. This is a great time to either, if you see a therapist or you take meds, keep seeing that therapist, keep taking those meds. This is a great time to reach out and do therapy. Many therapists are doing telehealth, so you don't have to leave your space. If you have a computer, you can do a telehealth session. And if you don't feel quite comfortable taking that step yet, I encourage you to connect with your doctor, and that doctor, you can have a good conversation, or maybe they'll have a referral for you, or maybe it's just a time or in space that you can ask questions or concerns. Reaching out to medical and mental health professionals can be life-giving, but it can also be life-saving. That last check mark says boundaries, because we all love to talk about boundaries, right? All right, we're going to dive into boundaries. So I appreciate this slide because, first of all, it breaks down all the different types of self-care, right? There's not just one type of self-care. There's physical, emotional, social, spiritual, financial, space, personal, work. What I love is that the word boundary shows up in three of these different categories. We're going to zoom in on the work category. Boundary setting is a necessary self-care practice. It's an important part of taking care of our mental health. So what's a boundary? You know, when we watch a football game or a tennis match, the boundaries are really clear, right? We can see the lines. But when it comes to setting boundaries in our own lives, they're not always so clear. A boundary is a limit that a person sets in order to create a healthy sense of personal space. I'm going to give you an example. So an example of a strong boundary is, I feel disrespected when you don't listen and when you interrupt me when I'm speaking. That's an example of a boundary. You have permission to have boundaries in all these different areas, in your physical, emotional, mental work. You are allowed to have boundaries. And I would actually add another area to have boundaries in, and that would be technology. Setting boundaries, especially if we're new to doing so, it can be hard. It takes learning and practice. People do not always like boundaries. Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend have written a book that's called Boundaries. And what they say is, the person who is angry at you for setting a boundary is the one with the problem. Maintaining your boundaries is good for other people. It helps them learn what their families of origin did not teach them, and that's to respect others. What happens when we don't set boundaries? I'm sure all of us could share an example. I know that I could share many examples. When we don't set boundaries, we end up doing things that we just don't want to do, and other people end up draining our energy and our time. One other author that I like, Crystal Andrus, is the author of The Emotional Edge, and she says, when you feel yourself becoming angry and resentful or exhausted, I encourage you to pay attention to where you haven't set a healthy boundary. Setting boundaries builds our self-respect and others' respect of us. Boundaries also help us prevent resentment. Boundaries help us say no. It's okay to say no. We need to be able to say no, to set a limit, and to stick to it. Oh, I love this slide. Mental health superpowers. All right, I'm going to read these. Taking care of your body. These are the mental health superpowers. Taking care of your body, setting boundaries, valuing yourself, celebrating small victories, practicing forgiveness, and expressing gratitude. As you read these, which one's most difficult for you? I invite you to choose one and make it part of your self-care plan. As you learn and practice these particular mental health superpowers, I want to encourage you to be gentle and patient with yourself, especially as you try and as you practice. Again, this is about progress and not perfection. Here's some more good news, though. When we role model these mental health superpowers, we really benefit, but also everyone around us benefits, and people will notice. Now you might be thinking, Joy, I am already so tired and worn down. And here you're giving me more ideas of what to do. I can't do anything more. That's okay. If you're struggling with your mental health right now, and I'm not talking about a crisis. If you're in a crisis, that's another conversation. And I have some resources at the end of this session that you can take a picture of it for you to have. But right now, what I'm talking about is we're all struggling with our mental health right now to an extent, and that's normal because of the circumstances that are bombarding us. Here are some ideas and encouragements to help you simplify your day and to help you focus. So if you're struggling with your mental health right now, instead of critical self-talk, and critical self-talk is saying something like, oh, I'm so stupid. How could I have missed that meeting? How could I have forgotten that task? That's critical self-talk. Put that away. Instead, try celebrating small wins. And a small win is something like, I took a shower today and got dressed. Yes. Or I made it to my Zoom meeting on time. Yes. Those are small wins. Those are worth celebrating. Instead of pushing and pushing, try stopping, taking a nap or rest. Instead of trying to do it all, I do this. Instead of trying to do it all, ask for help. Instead of overthinking, listening to an audiobook or podcast, I want to talk about overthinking for a second. When we overthink, we need to interrupt that thought, right? We need to stop that thought. And sometimes it works to say, Stop that thought. Stop thinking, brain. We need to interrupt that think, thunk. My background, I have a master's in addiction studies. So addiction is something that I'm very interested in, substance use disorders. And in the world of addiction, we'll use the phrase drink, drink, drunk for someone who experienced substance abuse. And for those who experience codependency or codependent thinking, we change that to think, thunk. Right? We need to stop. We need to interrupt that think, thunk thinking, or interrupt it to get us out of that cycle. And listening to an audiobook or a podcast can do that. It slows us down. It helps us stop, makes us think about something else. And that last one is, instead of your normal workload, this is a tough one, but some days instead of getting your normal workload done, try setting 3 realistic goals per day. And have grace with yourself if you don't accomplish those on a certain day. I want to take a minute to talk about compassion fatigue. It's real, and I find it helpful to name. Compassion literally means to suffer with. For those of us who practice empathy, we can absorb pain and trauma of others. We can absorb it until we actually become mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. Compassion fatigue is when someone is so overwhelmed by the concerns or needs of others that they don't take care of themselves. Sometimes this can lead to sickness. So what are some signs of compassion fatigue? On the slide, we see withdrawn, really irritable, joyless, depressed. Or maybe there's an increase of negative coping skills like compulsive behaviors. It's one thing to have a glass of wine, but it's another thing to have a glass of wine starting at 8 a.m. and then have another one at 10 a.m. and another one at noon, right? That would be a compulsive behavior. Or maybe it's not eating, or maybe it's eating more or continuing to, you know, there's a variety of negative coping skills. If you notice some of these signs in yourself or others, ask, are you okay? Help connect an individual with a mental health professional or a medical professional. Please hear, it is strong and courageous and wise to reach out for professional help. We need to do that. We need to do that sometimes. This is a good time to talk about some coping skills or coping strategies. Coping skills are the specific tools and techniques that we can use to help handle our difficult emotions. They help us decrease stress and really help us regain our center when everything's uncertain. So coping skills might look like hobbies like fishing or golfing or gardening, or it might look like something with music, singing, dancing, listening to music. Maybe it's writing music. Maybe it's playing music, guitar, piano, violin, cello. Writing is a technique we can use. Art, so much different types of art. Knitting, quilting, painting, clay, or prayer. Prayer is also a coping skill. One of my favorite, you'll see this big picture. This is actually a box. It's a little box. And this is one of my favorite coping skills that I like to use. Years ago, I was finishing up at Luther Seminary, finishing a unit of CPE, and I had started graduate school at Hazelden Betty Ford. I had a lot going on, and I was working with people. I was working with clients and patients much throughout my day. A grad school friend of mine actually gave me this box, this little box, and it just happened to have footprints on the sand on the front, on the cover. And so I turned it into my Let It Go box. So what does that mean? For me, when I'm struggling with something and when I'm overthinking, what's helpful for me at the end of the day is to write that stuff down. So I write it down typically on a little piece of paper, and it might be the name of someone, it might be a situation, but I literally write it down and I fold it up and I put it in this container. For me, as I said before, I appreciate ritual. For me, it's a physical ritual of letting go. It's a physical ritual of me saying, stop. I can't think about this anymore. I don't want to think about this anymore. Help. It's not mine. It's a physical ritual of me saying, God, I give this to you. Tonight, I can't, but I know you can. Or not but, and I know you can. So my let it go box, my writing it down, my folding it up, that's a ritual that works for me to help me stop my thinking in the nighttime, in the evening, helps me stop my worrying or my fixing as I'm about to go to bed so I can actually rest and sleep. What are your healthy coping skills that help you daily de-stress? I want to name and teach a few more specific coping skills or coping strategies that nurture our whole selves, body, mind, and spirit. And these we can put into our self-care toolbox, right? We all have a toolbox, and when things get too distressing, we can start pulling out those coping skills and use them. So these tools that I'm going to share, they might be tools that you're familiar with. They might be tools that you use yourself or that you use with your staff. Or maybe they're tools that you can integrate into your summer staff training or if you have programming or online opportunities. So first, breathing exercises are always a great beginning. This five-finger breathing, so I started doing this with my kids, right? Because it helps them slow down. But really, I found adults really like the five-finger breathing. And what we do is just what it says on the slide. We start at our knuckle and we breathe in. The best part about this is that you can't really do it fast. You can't, that doesn't work, right? Like you can't breathe. So this helps us pause. And as we trace, and it's grounding because we're touching our bodies, right? And we're breathing in and out, and in and out. So that's one, the five-finger breathing is a coping skill that I appreciate. And it's something we can do anywhere, right? Like you can even do it so people can't see. You can be under the table, but have your finger and start breathing and tracing. So it's not something real noticeable if you start to feel real stressed out during a meeting or something. Then the flower candle breath. Go Zen is one of my favorite resources to go to. I encourage you to check them out. And this is a breathing exercise where we have a beautiful bouquet of flowers. Let's inhale. Everybody try. Grab your flower bouquet if you're interested or willing and breathe in. Smell those flowers. And then over here, we have a delicious cupcake that has a candle in it. And we're going to blow that candle on top of that delicious cupcake that we get to eat out. We breathe in those delicious, beautiful flowers and breathe out. This just is a good process of thinking, of teaching our brains. Okay, I have to breathe in now. What does that feel like? What does that mean? And then to use my body again to breathe out. And to make that noise, make that sound. Another great tool. So I'm just going to share. I said at the beginning that I've been working for our synod for the last couple of years. And what ended up happening is that we did a synod event and we had many, many more people show up than we thought. It was on mental health and well-being. And so we went after a grant, Catherine Anderson, who I'm hoping many of you know, she's amazing, who works at our synod up here in northeastern Minnesota. We went after a grant, received the grant, and now I'm the program consultant for the mental health, youth ministry mental health discussion initiative. So we've made discussion guides. This is curriculum per se. These are guides that we've put together to begin conversations. And in here, you'll see that last slide. It's hard to read though. In here, this talks about five ways to well-being. And this is another way that you could integrate mental well-being into summer programming. So what are these five ways to well-being? It says, be active, do what you can, enjoy what you do, move your mood. Connect, talk and listen, be there, feel connected. Give of your time, your words, and your presence. Take notice, remember the simple things that give you joy, and keep learning. Embrace new experiences, see opportunities, surprise yourself. P.S., I know it's kind of plugging myself here, but Catherine and I, these are free, they're online. Check them out. There's a lot of great resources in there. If anything, just the resource lists are worth taking time to check it out. All right, one more thing I want to show. How many of you have heard of a coping skills or a calm down box? Okay, this is a very large one because I bring it. I see nods, so people definitely have these. Do you have them on your sites? Do you have them in every cabin on your sites? Because I want to encourage you. I think it's a great like service opportunity. Maybe it's like a Thrivent grant, you know, like to get coping calm down boxes in every cabin. This can be great for families. It's great for kids of all ages. It's helpful for your staff as well. So coping skills calm down box is an actual physical container, but it could be, this is a big one. It can be like a lunchbox. And we put items in it that can help a person calm down and express their emotions in a healthy way, right? So what do I have in my box? I have a great list of what to put in a calm down box. I can give you that link if you're interested. But we want things that provide support. So maybe a little weighted blanket or a small blanket, or maybe like I have a mini massager in mine, items to squeeze or to keep hands busy. My kids have gotten into my box, so not everything is in here anymore, I noticed. But have you ever made a stress ball out of a balloon with flour? Really simple and a really cheap and simple way to create your own stress ball. It's even an activity that you can do together. Do it online with people. You know, most people hopefully will have a balloon or some flour at home. Not everybody, but some. Another thing is bubble wrap to pop, or also I keep tissue paper in here, and the tissue paper is actually to rip up. So these are some ideas for your calm down box. Some other things, bubbles. Bubbles are always good. Little bottles of bubbles, because it helps you focus on breathing. So if someone's really feeling out of control or anxious, this can help blow the bubbles. We might not think that we're breathing, but it's practicing and helping us breathe. I have some yoga cards in the box to do a yoga pose. Sometimes people will put some type of music in here or headphones that can noise cancel. Snacks that have texture. So this is a chia seed packet or pretzels. Another thing to put in would be like, I have almonds in here, almonds, dried fruits. So healthy snacks, but snacks with texture. And then maybe you put in here a puzzle. I have a puzzle in here. I have something to doodle on. Coloring books and crayons are also in. You can tell the age of my kids. Paw Patrol, I have a Paw Patrol coloring book in here. Also sometimes having just a notebook for someone to write. So what's the goal? What's the point of this calm down box? Well, for if someone is feeling like they're struggling to focus, if they're interrupting everybody else, if they just don't stop interrupting, if they're feeling anxious or homesick, well, we invite them to go to the box. What's something that could, they can choose one item that they can hold, that they can use, that they can eat, that they can play with to help them self-soothe and to find some comfort so that they can start to calm their bodies down. And hopefully it also helps them start to express emotions and their feelings. So those are a few coping skills. You know, I said go Zen earlier. I took this out, but I'm going to throw it in there. Go Zen has a great list of 50 calm down activities to try with kids of all ages. It's a great resource, especially for camps or day camps, outdoor ministries. All right, moving on. Tending to our spirituality. You might be familiar with the wholeness wheel. It's been used by the ELCA and different organizations like Portico for a while now. And what this says is that spiritual well-being is intertwined with and influences our well-being in all parts of our life, right? So spiritual well-being encompasses our whole self. So as we practice self-care, we're actually tending to our spirit and our spirituality. That said, I'd like to think about some questions that impact your spiritual well-being and whole self. Okay, these are questions you can write down, maybe talk about with your staff, or just ponder. How are you actively connecting and staying involved with your faith community, your pastor, and your congregation at this time? Are you able to express to God how you really feel about all the many? There's a lot going on in our homes, in our cities, in our states, in our country, in our world. How do you express to God how you're feeling? How do you let that out? How do you do that? What's spiritually nourishing to you these days? Is it scripture and prayer? Is it singing hymns around the piano or guitar? Is it spiritual direction? Whatever it is, keep doing it. I know in my life and in our family, we've just need to keep it simple. What's been nourishing to us is we've just started to join in on the Sunday school Zoom for our church. And honestly, it's kind of become this family Sunday school. We really like it. It's really nourishing to us. In the morning, before I get up and look at my phone, this was my grandmother's when she was living, and I got it after she died, and it's the Psalms. And I just open it up and I read a Psalm before I check my phone, before I wake up, before I get out of bed. Also praying with my kids, camp graces, or singing in the morning, we sing This Is the Day together. And at night, our prayer time. That's been really meaningful right now. And my seven-year-old started a gratitude journal, and he and I do that together each night, and that's been a great way to close the day. Just writing down a few things that we're grateful for. Do what works for you. Honor that the other self-care that you're doing is also part of your spiritual care. Be kind and compassionate to yourself. God shows up and is present with us in the expected and in the unexpected. Remember, you're doing the best that you can, and it's more than good enough right now. We are made to bend. When life's strong winds come blowing, bend with them and let go. By bending, you will become stronger in new places. By letting go, you will be making room for the new and better. There are a lot of strong winds right now. There are a lot of things happening that are out of our control. What we can control is how we respond. What do you need to lean into and let go of today? What do you need to lean into and let go of today? My self-care today. So when I feel overwhelmed, I need to take a break. When I feel stressed, I need to focus on relaxation. When I feel anxious, I need to practice my coping skills. When I feel sad, I need to be loving toward myself. When I feel angry, I need to find a positive outlet. When I'm drained, rest. I need to rest my body, mind, and soul or spirit. When I'm broken, I need to practice self-compassion. When I'm upset, I need to find love and support. Self-care helps us prevent stress and anxiety. Self-care gives the mind, body, and spirit time to rest and rejuvenate. Self-care makes you more effective. Gretchen shared with me a few questions that had been asked before the session, and I think there were three in particular. So if it's okay, I'm going to dive into answering those questions that people have asked. And all the questions had to do with tending to others. So today's focus is encouraging y'all to make time and tend to your body and mind and spirit by creating healthy daily self-care habits, right? But a few people have asked these questions, and it's important. They're good questions. They're important questions to address the mental well-being and self-care with summer staff and year-round staff. And here's the big answer. It all starts with you, right? So how do we address mental well-being and self-care with summer staff and year-round staff? Well, it starts with you. The first step in creating a healthy staff is role modeling self-care and showing how you tend to your body, mind, and spirit. Your staff needs to see it. They need to see that you're doing it, and they need to see how you're doing it. Next, keep staff accountable. In my first job, I was 23. I started as a youth director at a really big first-ring suburb in the Twin Cities at a big Lutheran church, and I had a great mentor and boss pastor. I will never forget at one of our first meetings, we were looking at our calendars, and he said to me, okay, where on your calendar is your self-care time for this month? And I thought, what? How many of you write in your self-care time on your work calendar during your work hours? I want to encourage you to do that because that is part of your work. So he would say, write down a couple hours on this day or that day and take time during the work day to tend to your mental well-being, to your body, mind, and spirit. Now, eventually, oh, and then he'd check in with me about it. We'd talk about it. Eventually, self-care became normal to me and part of my personal routine and my work routine. But to have that permission so early on in my vocation and career to focus on intentional self-care, what a gift to have that from my boss, my mentor. Open communication. I want to encourage you at your staff weekly meetings to ask your staff, not at your staff meeting, sorry, that's the next slide. Right now, I want to encourage you to ask your staff weekly in person, which is like one-on-one or via an email. Ask every week, how are you feeling? And what is giving you the greatest stress this week? What's giving you the greatest stress this week? Just those two simple questions. This can help create a culture that focuses on our mental well-being. But do it consistently and do it with all your staff, whoever you manage, whoever you're working with, and expect a response. Let's start talking about this, you know? Continuing education, mental health training. As an organization, I encourage you to have mental health resources available to your staff, but also whoever enters your office or your camps. Maybe they're put up in the bathroom. Maybe they're on the welcome table when they first get to camp. Help destigmatize mental health. And we can do that by learning appropriate language and encouraging and connecting all of us to connect with mental health resources. And educate and equip your staff. You are not a professional and you need not be. Okay, please hear that. That's part of the boundaries. You're not a professional. You need not be. Yet, what you do need to know are warning signs and distress signals and how to be a bridge, how to be a bridge for those who need help. Because kids and families are going to show up at camp. If we do camp this next summer in all the different ways, they're going to show up and they're going to need help. So we need to equip ourselves with the tools so we're ready. Staff meetings, some pointers about staff meetings. Again, how do we encourage a culture of mental health? Here are some great conversation starters. Maybe it's devotion activities. Maybe it's these questions. These questions can help create and nurture a culture of well-being. So they're simple. Let's talk about our body. How are you staying healthy? Are you getting enough sleep? And we don't have to ask all these questions at every meeting, but maybe there's one that we bring up when we're checking in and encourage an answer. Right? It's not just, I'm fine. I'm okay. Let's dive in. Let's hear a little bit more. Number two, it says, what are you doing this weekend? And here's so many of us, when I was an outdoor ministry, I was working most weekends, right? I was driving to a different church and I was very busy on the weekends. So then the question is, if I'm working all weekend, the next question is, so when are you taking time for you? Number three, it says work boundaries. How do you unplug from work each day? This is a great question for us to explore together, especially as a team, whatever team that you work in on your site or for your organization. And four, what restores your spirit? So just baby steps, right? Planting seeds, and that can help create a culture of mental health and mental well-being. Summer staff, some ideas of how we can nurture well-being with summer staff. So the slide says, ask mental health professional to speak at training. I am hoping or guessing that most of you already do this, especially for upcoming summers, maybe having a social worker or someone who's trained in trauma as a trauma specialist, local chaplains, or maybe host a panel of people. I find panels to be really helpful. And then your staff can go up afterwards and talk, you know, invite the panel to stay for the afternoon, stay for the day, so that your summer staff can actually connect with these local resources that can benefit your staff and just help the summer go smoothly. The next one is include mental well-being activities into your summer programming. Maybe it's yoga, maybe it's having calm down boxes in every cabin. Maybe it's just encouraging rest, nurturing rest, exercise, writing, art, different prayer practices. And the last, there's a whole bunch of different ideas. And if you want to brainstorm more ideas, let me know. I love to brainstorm summer well-being activities for summer programming. And that last part, it says provide mental health resources. So what do we mean about this? Again, having resources out and about on-site at your camp or in, and your organization really important. But here's another way to think of it too. So I wrote on here 12-step meetings, telehealth therapy space, family resources, grief and loss, eating disorders. So have resources like a resource table, little library available. But also I want to encourage you, please encourage support and make accessible space and time for your summer staff if they need to continue their therapy appointments during telehealth or if they need to continue attending a 12-step meeting in the summer. Support their work and recovery by allowing them that time and space because that will only benefit you, the entire community. And these days with so much telehealth options, there's a lot of, and 12-step meetings online, there's a lot of different great opportunities. And then during staff training, ask your staff, how do we create a culture of self-care? How can we commit to holding ourselves accountable, holding each other and ourselves accountable for that self-care plan for the summer? See what they come up with. I would love to be in those spots as you have those conversations. It might be really neat to see what comes out of that conversation. Then there was also a question about guests. You know, be flexible, kind, and patient with guests. Maybe have a list of chaplains, spiritual directors, massage therapists, yoga specialists that are in the area or the nearby town. I know a lot of camps aren't super near certain communities, but have that list available. And maybe those people come out to camp. Maybe they can go in and meet with those people. Have a resource area, what I've said, or a little library. And this is one, this is more me, but have nourishing and healthy food options for your guests and your summer staff and your campers. And again, ask people what they need, what they'd like, and they might not know, but by asking, you might open up a great conversation. All families are going to have different needs. Some people who are retired are going to have different needs and if they have little kids, and yet welcome them into the space of camp and invite them to participate how best suits them. All right, I see that I'm almost out of time. So I'm just closing with some resources. So I'm not talking much anymore. Thank you for being with me here during this hour. If you have a camera, I'd encourage you to take a click of these resources. The first resource is a virtual calming room. It's really neat. Go check it out. The second are the resources up here from Northeastern Minnesota, what Catherine and I have been working on. And then if you focus on a lot of elementary younger age kids, I want to encourage, I'm trying to find resources that you might be new to you. This Hazelden Betty Ford family program for children, there's some really good resources there. And if you're not familiar with Sesame Street and communities, for kids of all ages, there's some really good resources. And then the Dougie Center is one of my go-to resources for grief and loss. And then on the CDC, and maybe you have this as well, but this might be something easy for you to print off. This is just a simple sheet, that last one, and it says coping with a disaster or traumatic event. And to have this as a resource on site on a table, it just talks about steps to your care for yourself, how to help your children, and common signs of distress. A real simple piece you can print off, and then you can have available for people. Earlier today, I talked about if there's a crisis, these are great crisis lines. If you need to talk to someone or if you have someone come to you that needs to talk to someone right now, all of these numbers have a crisis counselor on the other end. What I also like to encourage as all ministry professionals, I want to encourage you to have a list of national resources and local numbers. Up in your office. It's somewhere up in your office. So when you need it, you have it and you're not like scouring the internet trying to find a resource. This is a great place to start. And if you'll stick with me for one more minute, I'd like to close with a blessing. When every decision is something new, how do we do self-care and feed ourselves spiritually? Well, friends, we don't know what next week, next month, or next summer is going to look like. We don't know what it's going to bring. Yet we do know what we can do. We can take one day at a time. We can dig into our toolboxes and practice what we know and what we're learning. We can show ourselves kindness and compassion. We can acknowledge that some days will be easy and some will not. We can keep trying. And when something does not work, we can allow ourselves to grieve it and accept the need for change. We can choose to bend and let go and create space for the new and better. We can reach out to our support systems. We can tend to our bodies and minds and spirits, doing the best that we can and trusting that that is more than good enough. It's a good time to remember that God called you to this vocation. Lots has had to change this past summer and year, and much continues to change. And yet here you are. Here you are living into all these unknowns and living into the light and hope that we have in Christ and the resurrection. A blessing from things seen and unseen. The blessing of God, who has promised to come into our lives, be with you today. The blessing of God, whose love ransoms us from all captivity, be with you forever. The blessing of God, whose breath brings new beginnings, send you forth into the world to create a new day for the good of all. Amen.
Joy, thank you so much. On behalf of this whole network, I want to say thank you. What you have shared with us is so important, and we are grateful for you reminding us, and in many cases, for me, telling me for the first time how important this is. I thank you so much, and I thank you to the LTE committee for bringing you to us.
And yeah,
thank you.
We'll share the recording on the LMI.